higher up the hillside, but Ryan was following a narrower winding path that had all the hallmarks of being made by animals rather than humans. It followed the course of a zigzag stream that ran swift and bright to Ryan's left. His back was aching, and he stopped and stretched, feeling the stiff bandages peel stickily away from the wound and the instant warmth of leaking blood. It had been several hours since he'd left the Ville, and he was becoming thirsty. Might as well take advantage of the stream while he could. For a moment, he thought that he'd heard something moving on the far side of the narrow stream, where he could just see another similar path. But the sound wasn't repeated. Ryan took a chance and threw himself flat on his stomach. He sheathed the panga and drew the Sig Sauer, holding it ready in his right hand. If anyone took Ryan by surprise, it wasn't likely to be an opportunity for a swift, clean kill. The water was utterly delicious, flowing from somewhere high up in the distant Sierras, away to the far east. It was as cold as charity and as sweet as hope. He dipped his face below the surface, drinking deeply, feeling refreshed from just a few mouthfuls. Ryan lifted his head, the dark, curly hair dripping spangles of water back into the stream, and looked straight into the swarthy muzzle and hooked tusks of a huge, muddy pig. The beast wasn't quite as big as the boar they had called General, but it had to have weighed better than 1,000 pounds. Its tiny, deep-set eyes glowered at the man who had invaded its drinking place, and its sharp hooves pawed at the bank of wet mud. All that separated it from Ryan was less than 5 feet of deep, chilly stream. Ryan didn't make any hurried, frightened movements. He raised himself a little way, bringing the Sig Sauer around to cover the beast, not quite sure what effect the 9mm round would have on a creature that size. The pig's breath reeked with rotting meat. Ryan realized that it wasn't sure what sort of a threat he represented, and it kept lowering its head as though checking that the water was still there. Fuck off. To his amazement and relief, the muty animal did just that. It shook its huge rotting head from side to side, then backed away a few steps, as if it might be readying itself to charge. Then, it simply turned and trotted ponderously away into the white fog, disappearing in seconds. The edge of the camp was less than 200 yards farther on, nestling in the sheer-sided valley. There were no guards out, but Ryan could see through the clearing mist that there were men and women moving around the makeshift huts and tents. The fire had been built up to a roaring blaze, which was one of the reasons that the fog was markedly less thick around the brushwood settlement. Jamie had described where he thought Dean would be held prisoner. It was on the far side of the encampment, in a ragged tent with a high lodgepole, from which something that looked like a human scalp was fluttering. Ryan made his way around the perimeter, using the plentiful cover. He stopped once as three men walked quickly by.
Man, I'm telling you, Straub is a fucking murdering genius! He took out all 10 of Wayman's stoop sec men, all by his fucking self. And now we got all their horses.
Yeah, I'd follow that man to the goddamn grave, I would.
Ryan speculated what Straub could have done. One man can't take out 10 armed and alert sec men. Unless he'd been armed with a first-class light machine gun. And there had been no sound of any shooting.
Impossible.
Dawn wasn't far off, and Ryan knew that his task would be made that much more difficult by the way the shrouding fog was leaking away. He was safely at the rear of what he hoped was the right tent. He'd come close to the flapping canvas, straining to catch any sound from within that would give him a clue, but it was as silent as a tomb. Ryan had a sudden vision of what he'd find inside, his son's corpse, naked and bloodless, hideously mutilated. It was so powerful an image that he had to kneel and fight against the desire to throw up.
I don't believe you.
Dean.
Ryan cautiously probed at the coarse material with the needle tip of his panga, boring open a tiny hole and pressing his eye to it. A small smoky fire and a tallow lamp gave just enough light for him to be able to see what was happening inside the tent. Dean was sitting, his hands tied in front of him, a tight strip of rawhide knotted tightly around his neck, holding him against the center pole of the tent. As far as Ryan could see, the boy hadn't been badly hurt, though there were dark shadows of bruises around his eyes. The other person was an old crone, bent almost double. She was performing a bizarre dance in front of the helpless boy, lifting up her ragged skirt to expose herself.
Kill the bugger insect men, and shoot all your buggering out men, friends, and soon we'll be killing you. This town's promised me I can have some fun with you, laddie. Like what you see, do ya? Like a ripe taste of it?
There was no point in waiting any longer. Ryan gripped the hilt of his panga and drew the razored edge down the outer cover of the tent. The old woman had her back to him and was too preoccupied with her taunting jig to be aware of anything happening behind her. Ryan eased himself through the gap in the material, seeing the sudden widening of his son's eyes. But Dean knew better than to attract attention. He immediately dropped his gaze to the packed earth floor of the tent.
Won't even look at old Rosie, huh?
Ryan switched the steel to his left hand and stepped close to the capering figure, clubbing her hard across the nape with his right fist. She dropped like a discarded bundle of rags. Ryan knelt and checked her pulse, ready to open her throat, but there was no need. He turned to his son.
You all right, Dean?
Yeah, Dad. Better than all right now you're here.
Are you hurt?
No. Knocked me around a bit. Worst was what that old bitch was planning.
I can guess.
Ryan crouched and cut the cords around the boy's wrist. Dean rubbed hard at his hands to try to bring back the circulation.
Wow, that hurts. Watch out for the one around my neck. It's real tight.
Ryan eased the tip of the blade under the rawhide, slicing through it.
You ready? Can you stand up all right?
Sure. Listen, that old sow had my blaster. Can I see if she still got it?
Dean rummaged through her clothes, pulling out the Browning and sticking it back in his belt. As he stood, the boy deliberately kicked the corpse in the face with the toe of his combat boots.
Wasted effort, son.
Not when it makes you feel so good, Dad.
They moved to the back of the tent, where Ryan reached to draw aside the cut material, the movement tugging painfully at the wound in the small of his back.
Ah!
Hurt, Dad?
Some. It's not bad. We'll talk when we get outside. Head straight into the trees, but watch out for the brushwooders. They seem like an army out there.
Father and son slipped out of the camp and vanished silently into the misty forest beyond. Though it gave him more discomfort, Ryan led the way up along the flank of the steepest slope, above and to the north of the brushwooder settlement. He carefully avoided the main trail back toward the ville, where armed horsemen could easily have ridden them down. It was heavily wooded, and the recent rain made the going slippery and treacherous, but it brought them out where Ryan wanted to be, close to the side canyon that he suspected might be the home of the pack of muti pigs. They'd been out of the camp for about 10 minutes when they heard the news.
Found Rosie's corpse.
They don't sound pleased.
Think it was Straub?
Ryan leaned his hand against the bole of a spreading sycamore, catching his breath.
Could be. I heard Brushwooder saying that Straub personally, on his own, killed 10 armed sect men. You think that's possible? I figured him for a triple creep. Something about him.
Dean hunkered on a rounded boulder.
I felt dizzy when he stared at me, and I sort of had the feeling that he could be a seer or doomy. Kind of reading what I was thinking. You know, Dad?
Yeah, I know.
We going back to the ville?
No, not yet. I've got an idea that just keeps on growing and growing.
Ryan was surprised at how much the arrow had taken out of him. It hadn't been that grave a wound. He'd certainly had far worse in his life, and hadn't touched any major organs or broken any bones. The only potential damage was to the web of muscles that protected the base of the spine from harm. But it had been a clean wound, the arrow coming out fairly easily.
I'm getting older.
He decided that it was about time to take a break from the grinding uphill climb. They were comfortingly close now to the crest of the ridge, on a deer trail that Ryan hoped would eventually bring them down again some way along the side canyon that had been his destination.
Let's take 5.
Dean dropped on a patch of soft turf in between a grove of alders. Now the dawn light was strengthening.
Ryan could see that the boy had been badly beaten, with congealed blood running both